Section 2. The Structure of Spontaneity. One Saturday evening, not long ago, an improvisation comedy group called Mother took the stage in a small theater in the basement of a supermarket on Manhattan's west side. It was a snowy evening just after Thanksgiving, but the room was full. There are 8 people in Mother, 3 women and 5 men, all in their 20s and 30s. The stage was bare except for a half dozen white folding chairs. Mother was going to perform what is known in the improv world as a herald. They would get up on stage, without any idea whatsoever of what character they would be playing or what plot they would be acting out, take a random suggestion from the audience, and then, without so much as a moment's consultation, make up a 30-minute play from scratch. One of the group's members called out to the audience for a suggestion. "Robots," someone yelled back. In improv, the suggestion is rarely taken literally, and in this case, Jessica, the actress who began the action, said later that the thing that came to mind when she heard the word robots was emotional detachment and the way technology affects relationships. So, right then and there, she walked on stage, pretending to read a bill from the cable television company. There was one other person on stage with her, a man seated in a chair with his back to her. They began to talk. Did he know what character he was playing at that moment? Not at all, nor did she or anyone in the audience. But somehow it emerged that she was the wife, and the man was her husband, and she had found charges on the cable bill for porn movies and was distraught. He, in turn, responded by blaming their teenage son. And after a spirited back and forth, 2 more actors rushed on stage, playing 2 different characters in the same narrative. One was a psychiatrist helping a family with their crisis. In another scene, an actor angrily slumped in the chair. "I'm doing time for a crime I didn't commit," the actor said. He was the couple's son. At no time, as the narrative unfolded, did anyone stumble or freeze or look lost. The action proceeded as smoothly as if the actors had rehearsed for days. Sometimes what was said and done didn't quite work, but often it was profoundly hilarious, and the audience howled with delight. And at every point it was riveting. Here was a group of 8 people, up on a stage without a net, creating a play before our eyes. Improvisation comedy is a wonderful example of the kind of thinking that Blink is about. It involves people making very sophisticated decisions on the spur of the moment, without the benefit of any kind of script or plot. That's what makes it so compelling and, to be frank, terrifying. If I were to ask you to perform in a play that I'd written, before a live audience, with a month of rehearsal, I suspect that most of you would say no. What if you got stage fright? What if you forgot your lines? What if the audience booed? But at least a conventional play has structure. Every word and movement has been scripted. Every performer gets to rehearse. There's a director in charge telling everyone what to do. Now, suppose that I were to ask you to perform again before a live audience, only this time without a script, without any clues to what part you were playing or what you were supposed to say, and with the added requirement that you were expected to be funny. I'm quite sure you'd rather walk on hot coals. What is terrifying about improv is the fact that it appears utterly random and chaotic. It seems as though you have to get up on stage and make everything up, right there on the spot. But the truth is that improv isn't random and chaotic at all. If you were to sit down with the cast of Mother, for instance, and talk to them at length, you'd quickly find out that they aren't all the sort of zany, impulsive, free-spirited comedians that you might imagine them to be. Some are quite serious. Even nerdy. Every week they get together for a lengthy rehearsal. After each show, they gather backstage and critique each other's performance soberly. Why do they practice so much? Because improv is an art form governed by a series of rules, and they want to make sure that when they're up on stage, everyone abides by those rules. We think of what we're doing as a lot like basketball, one of the Mother players said, and that's an apt analogy. Basketball is an intricate, high-speed game filled with split-second spontaneous decisions. But that spontaneity is possible only when everyone first engages in hours of highly repetitive and structured practice, perfecting their shooting, dribbling, and passing and running plays over and over again, and agrees to play a carefully defined role on the court. This is the critical lesson of improv, too, and it is also a key to understanding the puzzle of Millennium Challenge. Spontaneity isn't random. Paul Van Riper's red team did not come out on top in that moment in the Gulf because they were smarter or luckier at that moment than their counterparts over a blue team. How good people's decisions are under the fast-moving, high-stress conditions of rapid cognition is a function of training and rules and rehearsal.